disagree. Now here come the cuts and redundancy. Through the absolute indifference, the avarice, incompetence, your arrogance, your ignorance, your greed.
So yesterday I had an interesting conversation with a former Tea Party guy. He says he's no longer a Tea Party person, but he firmly believes in the same principles of, you know, smaller government and lower deficits and lower debt and all of that stuff. And I said, well, where are you now? You know, you look at what this administration has done, and obviously he voted for Trump and a big Trump supporter, wearing the red hat with the white words on it. And you know, saying Trump's doing a great job. I go, well, what about the debt and what about the deficit? And what about, you know, the fact that they gave away a couple trillion dollars to people who don't really need it and are going to just hoard it? And they're actually talking about part two. Crickets, nothing. And again, it keeps back to, you know, how much is enough? How much do you have to pay to the chair? How much do we have to sacrifice? And here to share some of his thoughts on his latest op-ed titled "Republicans Are Trying to Rig the Game for the Wealthy. Don't let them." I've asked Mark Steer to come talk with us. Mark is the director of the Pennsylvania Budget and Policy Center. Mark, thanks for taking time for us.
My pleasure, Rick. Always happy to join you.
So Republicans are trying to rig the game? I would argue they've already rigged the game, Mark.
Yeah, they are doing now what they've been doing for the last 30 years, both in federal government and in Pennsylvania. And, you know, we had two anniversaries at the end of last month. One was the six-month anniversary of the Trump tax cut, and the other was the 53rd anniversary of Medicare and Medicaid. And my op-ed in Penn Live was basically about the connection between those two things. Because on the one hand, they passed tax cuts that added $2 trillion to the deficit, with 80% of the benefit going to the top 1%. And now, because we have this big deficit, $1.3 to $2 trillion in cuts to Medicare and Medicaid. And those two things are connected. What we're seeing the Republicans doing at the federal level is a massive redistribution upward from working people in the middle class to the rich in corporations, both on the tax side and, if they get their way, on the spending side. And it's atrocious. And people like that friend you mentioned ought to be paying attention, because he's one of the people who's getting screwed by all of this.
Yeah, I ask all the time, where are my tea twizzlers? Where are all those people who were screaming, you know, in 2010, 11, 12? Where are they now? You know, I still see them waving their flags. I don't hear a squeak over the fact that, as you've said, massive redistribution of wealth upward, and also a destruction of the programs that allow there to be a middle class in this country to exist, especially as you get older.
Absolutely. You know, you remember, I'm sure, that when we were debating the Affordable Care Act, they were saying two things. One, it would lead to big deficits, which wasn't true because the Affordable Care Act was paid. And the second thing they said is it was going to cut Medicare, which wasn't true also. Now we have a program that is actually leading to big deficits, and that is going to be paid for, if it's paid for at all, by huge cuts to both Medicare and Medicaid. And Medicaid, remember, not only covers low-income people for health care, but covers all of us, or a lot of us, ultimately, for long-term care when we get into our 80s and 90s. And nothing from these folks who you know, railed and railed against the deficits and against cuts to Medicare when it was something Obama was proposing. And now, and they did it falsely. And now when Trump is actually doing what they complained about, not a word from them.
Yeah, but, you know, this is one of those moments where, and I was saying this back when they were ramming this through, this tax cut that they've rammed through like thieves in the night. I was saying, look, they're creating the crisis by which they're going to use, and you don't need to be clairvoyant to see this play out, because they use it time and time again. They're creating the crisis in our deficit and our debt to say, look, you know, we don't have a choice now. We don't have any money. We would love to keep Social Security and Medicare and Medicaid. We'd love to keep all of those programs, but you know what? We're broke. We can't.
Yeah, and let's be clear. The same thing happens at the state level. This year in the legislature, we saw proposals to reduce eligibility for Medicaid and SNAP. And part of it was fake stories about people not working when most people who get these programs, in fact, are working, and that anyway, people who get health care at all levels of our society don't necessarily have to work to get it. But the other thing they're saying is we've got to save money in these programs. Well, why do we have to save money in these programs? Over the last 15 years in the state, we have reduced corporate taxes drastically. That costs us $3.9 billion a year. And we haven't instituted a severance tax on natural gas drilling, unlike every other state that has substantial natural gas production. And we're second in the country in that, right after Texas. You add that all together, it's almost $4.4 billion. Well, if we hadn't made these stupid tax decisions, we'd have plenty of money, not just for Medicare and Medicaid, but for education at all levels, for workforce training, for the kind of things that actually grow the economy.
Yeah.
But they cut those taxes, as you say, to have an excuse to then cut benefits that serve working people in the middle class.
No, we were just—I was just in Alaska. You know, I was—I went out to a Teamster event to speak at one of the events that they had, and you know, out there, every citizen in the state gets a check. You know, they actually give them like $2,700 every year from the drilling from the oil industry. Their roads are pristine and perfect, and you know, they actually, you know, tax at a much, much higher rate than we do, and we end up paying their taxes, which is just phenomenal for them.
Yeah, I lived in Alaska for 3 years. That permanent fund dividend was a great thing to have.
No, it's a great place. Why'd you leave? The no sunshine during the winter. I get it.
Actually, I like cold weather, and I don't mind the dark. I fell in love with a woman from Philadelphia who was in med school here, so that was that.
Yeah, it's always a woman, isn't it? But, you know, I look at this, and, you know, what is it about us that just we don't seem to wake up to the reality that we're feeding the very wealthy? And and I remember during the 80s growing up, you know, believing or being told that if we gave them everything, something would eventually fall out of their pockets and hit us in the head, or we could fight over scraps or something. There just doesn't even seem to be any scraps left.
Well, you know what? I actually think people are waking up, and I'll tell you how I know this. You know, we have this campaign called We the People, which is a big agenda for working people in the middle class, and part of that agenda is a tax plan, a three-part tax plan, corporate tax reform, severance tax, and what we call the fair share tax, which we've talked about before on your show, which raises taxes on earned income from wealth while cutting taxes on working people in the middle class. Now, we've been pushing this for a long time, and we always push it in the context of we really need a lot more public investment for education, workforce training. Because, you know, most people don't want new taxes unless they see the purpose of it. Well, what's happening now is we're going to start seeing more and more candidates for the legislature embracing this We the People campaign. It's going to start happening over the next couple of weeks. And the reason they're doing it is because they've been talking about these taxes at the doors of people around the state. And what they're finding is people want tax fairness for its own sake.
Right.
They know we need the money for things. But most importantly, they want the rich to start paying their fair share. They're tired of being suckers. While the rich people in this state pay it, the top 1%, they pay a 4% rate on their income, while working people in the middle class pay a 10 or 12% rate. They're tired of that. They know it's unfair. They know the system's rigged. And they just want that changed. And I think, you know, not everyone is going to embrace this, but I think we're going to be seeing some massive changes in our congressional delegations and in our state legislative delegations, because people are waking up to all the stuff we've been talking about. Not enough.
The reality is, I mean, it goes back to the cave. Those with the biggest shoulders carry the most water. I mean, it isn't that difficult to figure out.
That's what people really understand and what people want. They just want a system that's fair and that provides the public services they know are critical for their own well-being and for their kids rising up in the world by getting a good education. That's what people want from government. They know they're not getting it now.
Yeah.
And not everyone gets it. Some people are still caught up in the Trump mania. But look, we just had an election in Ohio, and while the Democrat may not have won, they still have a lot of votes to count there. The Democrat did about 10 or 12% better than Trump did. That's because people are really, really fed up with the direction that Trump's taking the country. And they recognize it's not just Trump, it's the whole GOP that's been doing it at state and federal levels.
No, you're absolutely right. And the thing is, as I've been saying, you know, take solace from the fact that there are probably 70 races across the country that were more competitive than that one. And that, you know, the Republicans aren't going to be able to outspend 5-1 in every one of those races. So November, if people show up, if people stay active and engaged and get out and march to the polls, it could be a decent November where we begin to claw back some subpoena power and begin to hold this administration accountable.
Yeah, I think that's right. And I think we'll also see in Pennsylvania, because our campaign is going to be supported by Republicans and Democrats, that some of the Republicans who are kind of sick of the direction their own party's going, and they're saying, hey, we need a new direction as well.
Yeah, bring me.
Unfortunately, that's not happening much at the federal level, but I think we're going to see some of it at the state level.
Bring me some Eisenhower Republicans. I keep saying what we need to do is go back to the Eisenhower tax code.
Yeah,
90%. Top rate of 92%.
Right. That worked.
It did. We paved almost the entire country. We built a huge infrastructure project. We built the interstate highway system, and we didn't go, you know, generational debt to do it.
That's right. And all the time while taxes were high, not only were we building the interstate highways, we were building public universities. We were building elementary schools and high schools because, there's a huge wave of school building at the time. When we were growing up, when the baby boom generation was coming of age, and there was huge investment in airports, all kinds of public investments. We did it without debt, and we did it at a time when, despite the high taxes, the economy was growing faster than it's ever grown before or since. Now, there's a real lesson there.
Yeah, absolutely. As I've been saying, you know, at the end of it, we need to be taxing the very wealthy and these big corporations, not continuing to hand out more, because we've got 40 years of proof it doesn't work. We have created the largest billionaire class in the history of civilization. Good on us. But we also have a huge poverty class. Mark, I appreciate the time. I appreciate the good works. Keep it up.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me on, Rick. Anytime.
As always, our good friend Mark Steer. You want to check out their work? We'll get links out at thericksmithshow.com. Or you can take a look at the Pennsylvania Budget and Policies Center, pbpc.org, I think is the website. Quick break. Right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show.